You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's a lot to cover. We're going to get to Jordan Bone's announcement on Wednesday afternoon. Jordan Bone declaring for the NBA draft and intending to stay in the draft. We'll talk about that decision and how it affects Tennessee's basketball team. Next year's roster is still very much to be determined with what the Vols will be. So I'll get to that here in just a few minutes. You'll hear from Jordan Bone, and we'll kind of go through what some of his options are as well. In segment number two, you'll hear from Tennessee wide receiver Juwan Jennings, as well as quarterback Jarrett Garantano. Jennings talks about how Garantano has improved. Garantano talks about his development as a leader and in the role of being the guy at quarterback for Tennessee. And then in the final segment, another honor for Grant Williams, another day, another honor for Tennessee's star forward, who also has a decision to make about his future, and coaching in the SEC in basketball. Man, it is impressive. We'll talk about that with the latest hire in the league. I'll get to all of that right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day, 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, available on the new Himalaya app, as well as Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can tell your smart device and smart speaker at home to play podcast Locked On VOLS. So Jordan Bone had the announcement on Wednesday afternoon that he has decided to declare for the NBA draft. I don't think that was a surprise at all, because I think the expectation was that he would at least go through the draft process, but a lot of that conversation was that he would probably return, and he still could. But Jordan Bone spoke to Evan Daniels of 247sports.com and said that he is declaring for the draft and he intends to stay in the NBA draft. That is subject to change, and I'll get to some of those options in a moment, but I want you to hear Jordan Bone, the announcement that he made kind of through the University of Tennessee. He posted it on his Twitter account. You'll hear Jordan Bone, and then I'll read some of the quotes in Jordan Bone's conversation with Evan Daniels. But first, here's Jordan Bone on his Twitter account on Wednesday afternoon.
Vol Nation, I want to begin by saying thank you. Your incredible support this season meant the absolute world to me and my teammates. It was a very special year, and you played a major role in making it so much fun. Wearing the Tennessee uniform is an incredible honor for me and something I honestly cherish. I've grown so much, personally and athletically, these last 3 years. I'm now blessed to have the opportunity to enter the 2019 NBA Draft, showcase my abilities for NBA personnel, and receive valuable feedback that will help me to continue to develop. I plan to make the most of this opportunity and use the experience and feedback to make the most informed decision possible about my basketball future. I'm going to lean on my family as well as Coach Barnes and the staff here at Tennessee through these next steps. We're all in this together. I know I'll have the support of Tennessee fans everywhere as we work through this process. Go Vols and God bless.
Jordan Bone on his Twitter account. So when he talks about making the most informed decision he can and going through this process, I think listening to that, that left a lot of Tennessee fans thinking that Bone very well could come back, maybe likely would come back. But then when you read his comments to Evan Daniels at 247sports.com, he has a different kind of message there. Jordan said this, quote, "I feel like over these past 3 years that I have put myself in a good position to test the waters. I'm a junior now, so they have the rule where you can test the waters and come back if need be. But honestly, I feel like I have proven myself to be one of the best point guards in the country. Honestly, I believe I'm the best in the country, but I feel like I've put myself in a position to go pro with my growth over the past couple of years. I feel like I have different things about my game that I believe will translate at the next level greatly as far as speed, athleticism, IQ in different situations, and things like that. I just know it's going to translate, and just the different attributes about my game that help it translate in the next level." So you did hear Bone say there, he is testing the waters, and there is the option to come back. But he also said he believes he's one of the best players in the draft at his position. And then there's this. While Bone has left open the door for a return to Tennessee, Daniels wrote that Bone made it clear that he intends to aggressively pursue the professional route. Bone said, quote, "Well, you know that there is always a chance that I come back, but honestly, if I put myself in a position to go, then I'm going all in. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance, and not many people can say that they're in the position. I'm extremely blessed to be in my position, but if the opportunity is there to take, then I'm going to take it. So Jordan Bone is leaving open the possibility of coming back, but his intention is to not return. This is not exactly like Admiral Schofield a year ago. And Admiral went pro, and if he were going to be a first-round pick, he said he was going to stay in the draft. Admiral was never really in any kind of conversation with the first round a year ago. So pretty much the entire time, Admiral knew he was coming back to Tennessee. That is not the case here with Jordan. Jordan is planning to stay in the draft and be a pro. Things can change. And I say that because when we were discussing this on Sports 180 on Wednesday, it really had slipped my mind that there had been rule changes passed because they were announced last August. There was never any public confirmation that I saw, that I remember seeing at least, that everything had passed through with the NBA and NBA Players Association. But rules have changed that now allow players to hire an agent. Now, it needs to be an NCAA certified agent. You have to go through a number of steps. You have to file the proper paperwork. You have to get an undergraduate advisory committee's evaluation from the NBA. Again, the NCAA certified agent part is key. There are still restrictions on the benefits that the athlete can take as well. But you can go through the draft process with an NCAA certified agent. And if you go undrafted, you have the option of returning to school. I still wasn't clear on that through the afternoon, but that does appear to be the case. The wording from the NCAA is a little bit confusing, but that is the case, that Jordan Bone can go through this process, have an agent, and go, if he goes undrafted, which if he's in the draft, he does not want to go undrafted, I wouldn't imagine. But if he goes undrafted, he would have the option of coming back. If he wants to pull out of the draft to make sure that he can't go drafted, then the deadline is May 29th. So there are a number of things at play there, and he has several options to consider while he's going through this draft process. But to be clear, right now Jordan Bone's intention is to go pro and stay a professional. Jordan Bone is not planning on coming back to Tennessee next year, which means Tennessee needs to figure out some things in the backcourt. The next big decision for Tennessee will come from Grant Williams. He is expected to go pro, and we will have a similar conversation. He can hire an agent. Now, the undrafted part's not really going to apply to Grant Williams. If he's in the draft, he's going to be drafted. There will be no undrafted Grant Williams coming back to school. So the May 29th deadline date would really apply to Grant, because if he stays in the draft past May 29th, well, then say goodbye. He's not coming back to Tennessee. We would know that for sure. So he has a decision to make, and again, still plenty of time. Now, Grant could announce he's going pro and he's not coming back, and that's a possibility as well. We'll see. I would imagine he at least leaves the door open, because when Grant goes through the draft process, he will get more feedback and will have a better idea if he is a first-round pick or if that's in question. If that's in question, then Grant will have to ask himself, does he want to stay in the draft or take another shot at a year in college to improve his draft stock to ensure that he is a first-round pick, meaning he's getting a guaranteed contract in the NBA. That would be the big priority for him. So right now, Tennessee has Lamonte Turner coming back, Jordan Bowden coming back, Josiah James coming in, a highly touted five-star basketball prospect who could help at the point guard position as well. And we are making some assumptions. What if something else changes? What if Lamonte were to decide he wanted to take a shot at being a pro? He's not said that he's coming back. There's just kind of the assumption that that would happen. So right now, we don't know a lot about what Tennessee's roster will be next season. So right now, trying to predict what Tennessee's basketball team will be is close to impossible. Before we know 100% that Jordan Bone will not be on the team, or what Grant Williams' status will be, or what other guys decide to do. Will there be any transfers? Who's coming in? Because I think Tennessee would be wise to take a look at the grad transfer market as well. There's a lot to be figured out about Tennessee's basketball team next season. There's plenty of time for things to be figured out. But Jordan Bone does not plan to play basketball at Tennessee next season. We know that. And that creates a big hole to fill. Replacing Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander will not be easy. And right now, Tennessee has to make plans to replace Jordan Bone as well. I had a chance to ask Braden Gall on Sports 180 on Wednesday what he thought about the decision. Braden is on the radio in Nashville, 102.5 The Game, plus Sirius XM, and has the Cover 2 podcast. And this is what he said about Jordan Bone and his decision to declare for the draft and plan to stay in the draft.
You know, I don't necessarily think it's a huge surprise. I mean, I think Grant Williams, obviously, if he's a fringe first-round draft pick, I here's the thing about both of them. I just don't know how much their stock changes. You know, if Grant Williams thinks he could, you know, add a, you know, if he can become a 44% three-point shooter and grow 3 inches, then sure, come on back. So I get, and Jordan Bone's not much different. I think he's sort of, he is what he is. He's a 6'3", 180-pound point guard. And certainly he could probably be more efficient, but at the same time, with all that greatness around him, he was pretty efficient, pretty underrated all season. I'm not sure he can become a better player, so why not test the waters? Listen, the sort of pie-in-the-sky utopian view is that, you know, Josiah James steps in for Admiral Schofield and everybody else comes back minus Kyle Alexander, right? I mean, that was the sort of the hope and dream of everybody. Who knows what happens here moving forward? Do I think he's a first-round draft pick? No. But I think he's a guy who can play in the league for a while, probably be a good sixth man coming off the bench, probably play for 8 or 9 or 10 years. So if that's your career over the next 7 or 8 years, you only have so much earnings potential. You got to weigh that against being a part of a family and maybe having a chance to make a deep tournament run next year. That's up to Jordan to decide. You know, he's the only one that can make that decision. And if he does decide to leave, congratulations on a great career.
Braden Gall talking about Jordan Bone, and I would agree with him there. If Jordan decides he's ready to take a shot at being a pro, he wants to go explore the professional route, you can still develop as a pro. That would be the expectation. I don't think right now that Jordan Bone is an NBA point guard. Could he be in the future? Absolutely he could. His outside shot needs to improve. He needs to be more consistent there. But Jordan is right when he says that he thinks he'll impress athletically. Absolutely. I think with his basketball IQ, his passing ability, you sit down and talk with him. I think you'll be impressed with Jordan Bone. I have been, and I would imagine NBA teams will be as well. It is a competitive position. Kobe White announced he's going pro on Wednesday, the point guard from North Carolina. So with Ja Morant, he's probably the top point guard prospect. There are a few guys that are going to get a lot of attention, but Bone will have a chance to improve his draft stock. I saw this from Sam Vecenie of The Athletic on Wednesday. He wrote, "Bone is interesting, but I think it's smart for him to keep his options open, even if he's diving in with 2 feet, hoping to stay in." So he's not 100% gone. There is a chance he comes back, but Bone's intention is to not return to Tennessee. And now we wait to see what will officially happen. And there will be a lot of time to pass between now and the end of this process. Also, I don't think you pull against him, right? You don't hope he does poorly through the draft process. So for Jordan, I hope it all works out for him. He's been a lot of fun to cover at Tennessee if indeed his college career is over. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, Juwan Jennings is back for one more year at Tennessee. He talks about his quarterback, Jarrett Garantano, and the way that he has developed, as well as how Juwan is feeling. He feels better. He'll talk about that. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And the show is available every day in the new Himalaya app. You can subscribe to Locked On Vols there on the Himalaya app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. So we were talking just a moment ago about the decision to go pro or come back, and Juwan Jennings decided to come back to Tennessee. Now, I don't know what his draft situation would have been. He probably would have had a tough time getting drafted. If he had, it would have been late in the draft. Remember, Juwan was dealing with some injury issues all through last season. He missed all of the 2017 season, and he was able to come back but had to kind of fight through knee and shoulder issues this past season. In a moment, Juwan's going to talk about Jarrett Garantano and how he's developed, and you'll hear Jarrett talk about that as well. But first, Juwan, how about his health status? He feels better, and he talked about that meeting with the media on Wednesday.
I just feel stronger. I feel healthier, you know, and it's just, I mean, my body is just ready to go this year. I don't feel any aches and bruises, so just happy about that.
That's good news for Juwan Jennings because last year was probably tough to physically get going every week when he wasn't able to practice at full speed at different times and he had to kind of work his way into the start of the season. And that's not to say he's not going to feel aches and pains this year. I'm sure that he will. I'm sure everybody will. But right now, he feels better than he did a year ago when he wasn't able to practice with Tennessee's football team. And that's a good sign for Juwan. That's a good sign for Tennessee's offense, because even not playing at 100% last year, Juwan was still really effective for Tennessee. He made plays for Tennessee. And if he's in a better position physically this year, well, then Tennessee's offense should be better because of it. Another reason Tennessee's offense should be better is that Jarrett Garantano should be a better quarterback. He was from 2017 to 18. Why wouldn't we expect that he will be from 2018 to 19 as well? And that's something Juwan Jennings talked about. The way that Garantano has developed and the way that he works, how that's helped him develop as a quarterback. Here's Juwan Jennings talking about Tennessee's starting quarterback, Jarrett Garantano.
He's just playing great. I mean, JG's always been playing at a good rate. He's doing better taking coaching, and it's just not even him, just all the quarterbacks pushing each other each and every day in practice. I just love what I'm seeing out of all three of them. He just, when I say like taking coaching better, I'm just saying as far as just talk communication wise. He's starting to learn that he's the voice of this offense, the voice of this team, and he's starting to just communicate in a bigger way that's going to help us this season.
And I think just being in the program for the last few years, having different coaches and maturing, I've talked about that this week. I just think being in the program now, entering his fourth year, that Jarrett is in a position where he probably has a better understanding of what his role is. He was very confident. He was cocky at times when he was trying to beat out Quentin Dormady for the starting position, and maybe was humbled a little bit when that didn't work out. He probably didn't handle the Georgia Tech game in the opener that season very well. That got a lot of national attention, but maybe we shouldn't have expected him to handle it that well. He was just entering his second season, and we'll still see how Jarrett plays. We'll still see how he performs moving forward, but I do think that he has matured and he has gained the trust of his teammates, and more importantly for Jarrett, his coaching staff, I would say, that they are believing in the way that he's going about doing his job. I'll still say that the beating he took last year, the amount of hits he took, and the way that Jarrett kept getting up to play as much as he could, that helped Garantano earn the trust of his teammates and coaches. And probably that helped him grow up, knowing how difficult it is to play in the SEC and how much he needs his teammates to help him succeed. And then there's the role of being a leader. Tennessee's offense needs Jarrett, I think, to be a leader. They have a good amount of experience from guys like Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway, and now along the offensive line, and the running backs are entering their third year, at least with Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan. But you want your quarterback to be a leader. And now, more than ever, Tennessee at least believes that that can be the case. And Jarrett talked about the goal of becoming a leader, being the guy, which he is now at quarterback for Tennessee.
Yeah, definitely. I always wanted to be a leader. I think growing up, it was always natural just being the best player on a team or so, whatever, you just naturally the leader. I think that I had to come into a different role and absolutely be more vocal and be more adamant about certain things. And I think that as time goes on, I'm definitely developing into a better one. I think there's a long ways to go, but I can definitely do better.
Jarrett also talks more like a quarterback, meaning not saying as much that could get headlines, get attention. I don't say that as a knock at all. I'd say that's something that Tennessee's coaches want from him, and that's been the case. A couple years ago, before he's ever taken a snap in college, he's talking about winning an SEC championship, and he's talking about winning the starting job and running away with it. Now he's talking about how he has developed as a leader, but he needs to be a better leader moving forward, and talks with praise with how his teammates are performing. So he sounds more mature. He sounds like a quarterback. Will he play like one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC? That is obviously to be determined. And if Jarrett is not better than he was this past fall, that would be, I think, a tremendous disappointment and would hold Tennessee back. But my bet is that Garantano is better. He needs more protection. He needs more time. Tennessee, I think, still needs more speed and guys that can be breakaway home run type players. But they've also, they have plenty of talent at wide receiver and at running back and at tight end. They have guys for Jarrett Garantano to get the football to. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining as well. So it's in Tennessee's best interest that Garantano continues to develop. And if he's the guy over the next couple of years, Tennessee can win some games with him at quarterback. Coming up here in the final segment of Locked On Vols, man, the coaching in SEC basketball, I think it's more impressive than football top to bottom because of what the basketball coaches have proven and what the football coaches are still hoping to prove. I'll get to that with the announcement of the latest hire in the SEC in basketball coming up right here on Locked On Vols. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has. They're on iTunes. 5-star reviews are always appreciated. But rating and reviewing the show can help other Tennessee fans find it and keep spreading the word. Tell your friends about Locked On Vols, the daily Tennessee podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Texas A&M made it official on Wednesday that it has hired Buzz Williams from Virginia Tech. Buzz is a pretty well-known name in college basketball coaching. His career is pretty interesting when you think about it. He was at Marquette, then he makes what was considered a lateral move, and at the time, maybe a step down because of where Virginia Tech had been. But he goes to Virginia Tech, it is in the ACC, and does a tremendous job. Vatech was in the Sweet 16 this past season. They were a basket away from tying Duke to go into overtime in that Sweet 16 game. And if they had won, obviously they would have advanced to the Elite Eight, and who knows what could have happened from there. Would have gone up against Michigan State. But Buzz did a tremendous job. And around college basketball, it started to become known over the last couple of months, he's from Texas, that he was probably going to go to Texas A&M to coach the Aggies. So if you look in the SEC, man, it's impressive with the college basketball coaches that are there, with the resumes these coaches have. Think about the amount of Final Four coaches that are in the league. The most accomplished coach in the SEC is easily John Calipari with what he's done at Kentucky and other schools. And I know about the vacated Final Fours, but his resume is the most impressive. Then you probably look at Rick Barnes with what he's done over the length of his career with the number of schools he's taken to the NCAA tournament. He took Texas to the Final Four. Bruce Pearl has now been added to the list of coaches that have gone to a Final Four. Frank Martin took South Carolina there. Tom Crean went to the Final Four with Marquette. And then Ben Hallen went to the Final Four 3 straight years with UCLA. That's a lot of Final Four coaches in the SEC. That's before you get to Buzz Williams, who I still think is one of the best coaches now in the league, and he's going to make things even more challenging. Nate Oates is the new coach at Alabama. He's well thought of. Still has to prove himself at that level, but he did a really good job at Buffalo. Mike White's done a nice job at Florida. Kermit Davis is a good coach. Konzo Martin's a good coach there at Missouri, having gone to the Sweet 16 with Tennessee, and his one really good season at Cal. Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and LSU still have vacancies to fill, but they're probably going to find some pretty good coaches. Eric Musselman's been talked about with the Arkansas job. Let's see if it works out with Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt. That's a funny one, and he obviously has not been proven. He is well thought of as an up-and-coming coach, I think, at the professional ranks. But again, let's see what happens there. But if you look at the SEC in football, you have Nick Saban, who is incredibly accomplished, obviously. Jimbo Fisher has a national title. Kirby Smart starting to, I think, climb the ranks in terms of how people view him, but still has more to do. He's won an SEC championship, and Georgia played in the national title game. So obviously he's done a really good job in a short amount of time. And then Dan Mullen at Florida, I think, is really accomplished with what he did at Mississippi State in his first season at Florida. But go through the league and look at the coaches and what they still have to prove. That's the case at Tennessee, right, with Jeremy Pruitt. He's 1 year in, and that's a losing season, 5-7 with Tennessee this past year. At Missouri, Konzo Martin's more accomplished than Barry Odom, I would say. At Vanderbilt, they still have a vacancy in basketball, but Derek Mason is not incredibly impressive as a head coach in the league. I think he's done a nice job there, and beating Tennessee a few times is what has helped him. You have Will Muschamp at South Carolina, pretty good. At Ole Miss, Kermit Davis, I would say, is more accomplished than Matt Luke, the head coach there. At Mississippi State, Ben Hallen's more accomplished than Joe Moorhead, who's entering his second season with the Bulldogs. So look around the league. Ed Orgeron's there at LSU. LSU can hire a coach that has as impressive of a resume as him, and LSU's one of your power schools in the conference. It's a football conference. Football's king. That's going to continue to be the case. That's the case at Tennessee. But the basketball coaching, I think right now, is more impressive than the resumes the football coaches have in the SEC. The SEC has made a tremendous commitment and investment in basketball over the last few years, and the product speaks for itself. The SEC has had 7 and 8 schools in the NCAA tournament the last couple of years, and that's going to continue to be the case, I think, and the league's going to continue to grow. Having Buzz Williams come in, Billy Kennedy did a pretty good job there and is very well respected, but that's a big upgrade, I think, from Billy Kennedy to Buzz Williams. He's going to win there at Texas A&M. I'd be stunned if he didn't. Arkansas, you can win. Vanderbilt, you can win. LSU, you can win. Kind of just need to stay away from wiretaps, but you can win there as well. Basketball is in really good shape in the SEC, and I think it's going to improve and I think it's going to continue to be fun as well. One other note before I wrap up today's show, it's almost impossible to keep up with him at this point, but another honor for Grant Williams. He was named a 2019 Men's Wooden Award All-American. He is one of five finalists invited to LA for the presentation of the Wooden Award Trophy. So Grant is a unanimous first-team All-American for what he did this past season. He is still in the running to be named the National Player of the Year. I think that's going to be Zion Williamson, but Grant's in the running, and he's one of the top two or three candidates, I think, based on what he did and what Tennessee's basketball team did this season. So it's almost a daily congratulations to Tennessee's Grant Williams. Thanks so much for hanging out here on Locked On Vols today. I'll get some more Tennessee football and basketball talk on tomorrow's show, the Friday edition heading into the weekend, a little more than a week to go before the spring game, Tennessee's orange and white game coming up on April 13th. Remember, Locked On Vols is available on the Himalaya app, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speaker at home and your smart device. Just tell it to play podcast Locked On VOLS. Have a great day. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you here tomorrow.